What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 41 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, The Tragedy of Stubborn Hearts. Stuart Weber once wrote, "The hypocrites of Israel were impossible to satisfy. Neither the king nor his forerunner was credible in their eyes." Our text for today comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. "But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds.'" Jesus is the Word. That's from John 1. Verse 1. Jesus is the living Word, John 1, 1 through 14, Hebrews 4, 12. When Jesus speaks, His words are spirit and life, John 6, 63. Nobody's words are greater than Jesus's, which makes Jesus the master teacher, John 13, 14 and 15. As the master teacher, Jesus used comparisons, contrasts, and parables to teach his followers. Matthew 11, 16 through 19 is a perfect example of how Christ used his words to enlighten, instruct, rebuke, and correct. Matthew 11 begins with John asking Jesus about his authenticity. Jesus responds by listing the miracles they have witnessed and states in Matthew 11, 6, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." He follows that statement with this truth in verse 12, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Jesus concludes in verse 15 with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Therefore, the context of Jesus' teaching in verses 16 through 19 centers on the violence and criticism that have surrounded John the Baptist and himself. Michael Wilkins shares Jesus' teaching within this context. The expression, "this generation," recurs often in Matthew's gospel negatively to designate the current generation of Israel's people, including the crowds and religious leaders who have rejected John's and Jesus' ministries. Related expressions are "a wicked and adulterous generation." This is not a blanket condemnation of Israel, because Jesus' own disciples are Jews, and large crowds of Jews still follow him around. But it points sadly to the fact that only a small minority of the current generation will enter the narrow gate to the kingdom by accepting John's and Jesus' invitation. You can see Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus taps into the current cultural setting by drawing on games that children played in the marketplace. In many villages, the marketplace was the regular playground for children, while their parents shopped, bartered, and exchanged local news. But Jesus intriguingly compares the innocence of child's play with the deviousness of this generation of adults who are playing an evil game. The difference is between childlike, which is positive. You can see Matthew 18, 1 through 5. And childish, which is essentially selfish, petty, and insistent on having one's own way. When children invite other children to join them in playing games, childish children insist on having their own way. The current generation is like such children who continually want to set the agenda of games. They are like pouting children who criticize other children because they wouldn't go along with their agenda. When they announce to everyone by playing a flute that the game they want to play is wedding, they become upset when other children don't go along by dancing. Then when they change the game and announce a funeral game by singing a dirge, they are upset when the other children don't immediately fall in line by putting on a face of mourning. Selfish childishness insists on having their own way. Likewise, this generation rejects the invitation to the kingdom of heaven because John and Jesus don't play the game they want. They rejected John because he did not dance when they wanted to be merry. And they are rejecting Jesus because he does not mourn when they want to fast. Like hard-hearted sinners, the generation of Jesus' day expected John and Jesus to conform to their expectations and refused to allow God's agenda to alter their own. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. Those who rejected John's message interpreted his rugged appearance and ascetic desert habits as proof that he was demon-possessed. Like those who chose to live in tombs or in the desert, the same people will also accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed when he exorcises a demon on the Sabbath, bringing him into conflict with their Sabbath rulings. It is the way of those with hardened hearts to try to rationalize their decision to reject the message by falsely accusing the messenger. Reversing the accusation, when Jesus came eating and drinking, they accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But as Jesus says, wisdom is proved right by her actions. The personification exemplified how those guided by God's practical approach to life make the right decisions. Wisdom is the application of knowledge to life in such a way that a person's activities are a concrete example of a life lived well in God's presence. If this generation had taken John the Baptist and Jesus for who they said they were, the knowledge of them as forerunner and Messiah would have been proved right by their actions. In these verses, Jesus once again used his teaching skills to show those who rejected him their selfish, childlike ways. What a tragedy it is to miss recognizing the Savior because of one's own reluctance to hear and see the truth. Some questions to consider. How does Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 illustrate the response of the people to his ministry? How does the opposition to John the Baptist and Jesus reveal the level of stubbornness of those who still reject Jesus? And finally, in what ways have you witnessed the truth of Jesus' statement found in Matthew 11, verse 19. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.